Rashi, because I'm not going to be here Thursday. I'm flying out. Okay, so let's start backwards with an interesting nitziv about the uneasy state of affairs between Yaakov and the locals. And remember, Yaakov is the Av that's trying to reach Shalom, and in the end of his life, he reaches Shalom, in particular with Paro, who is our natural enemy, and his cordial relations. He struggles with Shalom in Parshas Vayeshev, but even in Vayeshev, Vayeshev, we really feel next week's parsha that he has reached that point of calm and tranquility with his neighbors, and then of course internal domestic issues spring up and challenge him. The kafs alav rogz of Yosef is the language of the Medrash. But in Parshas Vayishlach, we're seeing an intermediate stage where Yaakov hasn't really fully worked out his relations with his neighboring peoples, tribes, and clans, and especially the situation in Shechem was a tinderbox, and that aroused a lot of latent tensions. And Yaakov is very worried about that, and he chastises his children. Why have you muddied the waters? Why have you made my relationship so complicated? And Yaakov realizes he's in a tenuous situation. He's escaped love and escaped Esau, but he's very vulnerable. His enemies could return. He needs allies. He doesn't have allies. So the Torah is an interesting pasuk. Vayiso, after they travel from Shechem, so now they're leaving the scene of the crime, the fear of Hashem, the constraint of Hashem, was in all the people and their surroundings. And they didn't chase Yaakov. This is what we're trying to reach, where they're frightened into not attacking us, and they don't chase us only because Hashem is constantly watching them and watching us. We would like harmony. We would like natural alliances. We would like people to form the covenants, let's say, that Avram and Avimelech had, common interests. Yaakov doesn't reach that stage. So in Yaakov's narrative, this is a temporary interim stage. He hasn't fully developed the tranquility and the diplomacy that he would like. There's a lot of aggression and tension, but Hashem is preventing it. Vayichitas Elokim al harim asher sivosihem v'lo redfu. Anyone know where else in Bereishis the word chitas appears? Another place where Hashem has to superimpose fear to prevent confrontation, even though there's no natural tranquility. After Noach emerges from the Teva, and there's a whole different relationship between humanity and nature, and because of that relationship, man is perched at the top of that pinnacle, and he can now eat animals, as opposed to in Bereishis, where there's more of an equality, and man can eat animals. So now that there's a hierarchy, there's going to be rampant tensions between the different levels of the hierarchy. So what does Hashem tell Noach? Umora'achem v'chitchem. Your fear will be placed on kol chayas haaretz. Hashem says, I know there's going to be violent aggression between nature and humanity. I will suppress it. I will protect you. An animal will see you. They won't chase you and they won't attack you. Chitas or chitchem doesn't mean harmony. It means restraint and imposed caution. Now, what this means, the Nitziv says, this is all background. What the Nitziv says is that everything about Yaakov's life is a template for Galus. Is a template for our experience in Galus, even ironically when he's in Israel, because he's an itinerant in Israel. He's traveling up and down through Israel. And there will be periods of harmony between us and the other nations. There will also be periods of aggression and violence. But there will also be intermediate periods where there's a lot of aggression, anti-Semitism, but Hashem is still protecting us. So we haven't reached necessarily the state of harmony and cordiality that we'd like, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu still protects us from afar. The language of the Nitziv is, Ava mikol makom, shome Yisrael eino ozev chas v'shalom, elo omeid merachok v'shomer. Hashem is watching us and constraining. U'maisa avasim en labanim, dibagolos, mara shamayim, nofil alumas ha'olam levli l'chalos. Even though part of our golos is a punishment, and part of the punishments we do suffer, and we have suffered in golos, but it hasn't been this one unabated spate. Could you imagine how much anti-Semitism there was? And there were terrible, terrible pogroms and inquisitions. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu still, and it's an anthropological miracle, why would they not kill us? They had the power, they had the authority. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are striving for the harmony that Yaakov reaches. We don't get there yet, but even when we don't get there yet, Vahi chitas Elokim al Hearim. Hashem's fear was placed in all the neighboring people. One other interesting nitziv, okay? Fascinating how careful and precise he read the text. What attention to detail. Hashem tells Yaakov, Kom alei Beisel, go back to Beisel, and what should he build in Beisel? Right, build a Mizbeach. But what did Yaakov commit to build in Beisel? Not a Mizbeach, but Matzeva. So why is Hashem flipping the script? Yaakov had dedicated a Matzeva in Beisel, now Hashem's telling him, go build a Mizbeach. So the Nitziv developed this very, very large theory. And in his theory, a matseva is a sign of gratitude. It's a monument. A mizbeach is a location of tefillah. Avram builds a mizbeach, v'yikra b'shem Hashem. Yaakov wants to return to Beit El and thank Hashem and build a matseva for protecting him and returning him. Hashem says, you're still in crisis. There's still a lot of issues you have to worry about. Your neighbors, Esav is still around. And therefore, I want you to build a mizbeach and continue to daven. Forget the gratitude, continue to daven. Fascinating question that Nitziv raises. If I'm in a stage of life where I want to express my gratitude for prior Hashgacha Hashem, but I'm still under duress, how do I manage those two conflicting emotions? Which comes first? Okay, now I'll get to the answer to that question in a moment, but just the question itself reminds us of the complexity of the human condition. In Eretz Yisrael, a lot, we find that we're undergoing moments of crisis. Mirz Hashem, we shouldn't have that many more, but there are moments of crisis in Eretz Yisrael, but we can't lose sight of the gratitude that we feel for being in Eretz Yisrael. And as difficult as life sometimes gets in Eretz Yisrael, think of the difference between where your ancestors were in December and where you're in December. They were fearing the inevitable Bagram that would break out in 2.5 weeks. And they had no recourse and no protection and no alternative, because every year on Christmas there was a Bagram. And you, Baruch Hashem, either you're living in Israel, or even if you're living in America with a rise in anti-Semitism, it's still not what our grandparents faced. On the other hand, you have to deal with the crisis. You have to deal with the fear. You have to deal with the challenge. So it's important to remember that life isn't binary, and you go through life sometimes being forced to feel conflicting emotions. The Nitziv says, but which should you feel primarily? Which should come first? The Nitziv says, Hashem is lessening Yaakov, continue davening. You and I would think, express gratitude and move on to the tefillah. The Nitziv says that Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling Yaakov, hold off on the matzeva. And in fact, Yaakov does hold off on the matzeva until the very, very delayed portion of this parsha. He first builds a mizbech and davens for his current crisis. Nitziv doesn't explain why. My own instinct tells me that if you express gratitude, it could be a little glib and too overconfident, too much of a swagger in the moment of crisis. The moment of crisis, you're supposed to be humble, doubtful, uncertain. You're not supposed to be creating Thanksgiving dinner and thanking Hashem when you're still going through the crisis. There are times for thanks. There are times for gratitude. When you're facing a crisis, part of emunah is to daven and to work hard and to be uncertain and to not know what Kodesh Baruch Hu will respond to you and how will respond to you. But it is fascinating that the Nitziv read the Parsha so carefully and built an important dilemma about human experience. What happens when we're faced with, on the one hand, our gratitude for being saved or rescued or receiving Hashem's bounty? On the other hand, we're going through a crisis. How do you manage the two? Hashem is telling Yaakov to manage them by pre-scheduling the tefillah and delaying the gratitude. First the mizbech and then the matzeva. He goes through many, many other indicators in the parsha, but we'll stop here. 7